KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota. And it's 46 degrees outside, a beautiful evening. Be sure to look for the moon. There's a beautiful, absolutely full moon in the east-northeast sky right now. Okay, it's time for a live beet farm tonight, and I'll turn it over to Carl and Leslie.
Can all join in with. It's very simple and I hope it's new. Yeah, make your own words up if you want to. Any old words that you think will do.
Hey everyone, it's Leslie and Carl here saying thanks for joining us on the Beet Farm Show at KTWH 99.5 LP, Two Harbors, Minnesota, and streamed at ktwh.org. Every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m., the Beet Farm Show features local singer-songwriters in our studio, and all shows are replayed the following Sunday at 3 p.m. So listen to this Beet Farm replay at 3 o'clock the day after tomorrow, on Sunday the 17th. Anyone can also access archive shows of all kinds at ktwh.org. Thanks ever so much for listening, and today we're really hyped to welcome our guest from the Duluth Superior area, John Edwards. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Let's just start out the hour with a song.
Right.
What will you play first?
I'm going to play Crow Wing County. It's an instrumental off of an EP I released about a year ago now. And it's an original. It's an instrumental.
Yay. And what was that first word?
Crow Wing County.
Crow Wing. Okay. Great. That was amazing. Yes, we do clap here. We like to clap here. Why not? Oh, that was so amazing.
Thank you.
I'm just sitting, tears are coming through my eyes. I'm just kind of overwhelmed. The reason is that it is so perfect, your playing. And I think I'm right in saying you're only 20 years old.
19, yeah, just 19. Beginning of the month.
Just turned 19. Oh my gosh! So this is John Edwards we have in our studio today, and that was a song again called "Crow Wing County."
Yep.
And knock my socks off, and How about another one right away? Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
Good.
I am, I'm going to play Age. This is off my newest record. And I usually dedicate this one to John Kerner, who passed away last May, I believe.
Right. The song written by John Edwards, our guest today, called Age, and he said it was dedicated to John Kerner. Another wonderful, wonderful one. And so some of the listeners might be thinking, gee, that doesn't sound like the usual kind of guitar that Leslie and Carl have in the studio. And can you describe your guitar then for listeners?
Yeah, so I'm playing a resonator guitar. Basically, it has these speaker cones inside of it, inside the main part of the body that kind of amplify and resonate the sound that's being played. And I guess like the really there's a whole history thing behind it, but basically they were invented to make playing guitar louder in jazz bands in the 20s and 30s.
Because, interesting.
You couldn't hear a regular acoustic guitar over a whole jazz band. So they made these to kind of make them, just kind of street instruments and folks who didn't have, you know, sound equipment, which was...
most back then, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so looking at it straight on that I am doing right now, it looks like it's all metal. At least the face of it is metal.
Yep.
And look, can I see is it the rest of it wood or the whole guitar is metal?
So
the neck.
Yeah, the neck is wood, and the headstock is wood. I'm not sure what kind of wood.
Yeah.
But it's some sort of steel, and it's the guitar was made by Mule, and it's just this team of like 10 guys or something. It's just really small over in Saginaw, Michigan, and they make fantastic guitars. And
oh wow! Yeah. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And they sell them nationally, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's a way different sound, and I must say, I kind of like the looks of it because I like those F-holes that mm-hmm. aren't always on a guitar.
Yeah.
That kind of, in my opinion, that fancies it up a little bit, and I'm used to seeing those on non-fretted mm-hmm. string instruments. Yeah. All right. Again, that was John's second song called Age, and it was dedicated to John Koerner. I'm going to read just a short little thing that I saw online somewhere. John Edwards is a young Duluth blues musician. At an early age, John was attracted to the drums, but soon found that guitar was much more to his liking and a lot less physically and financially cumbersome than drums. And so that's how that went, huh? But,
yeah.
I honestly, being a retired public school music teacher, everybody wanted to play drums. Everybody
yep.
wanted to play drums. And really, there weren't enough drums to go around. So
what does the drum set cost today?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, a whole drum kit, Carl?
A whole drum kit, yeah.
I have...
$600, $700 bucks for a...
Low end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a low end one. Yeah. Well... So I think you made the right choice. And before we went live, I asked you, what's that penny doing up there?
Oh, yeah.
And just say, who put that there?
This guitar that I'm playing today was Charlie Parr's for a bit. I'd asked him a couple of weeks back, if had it ever been featured on, like, an album or something. And he said it was featured on, I think, the last four.
Of Charlie,
done.
Okay, in
yeah.
case the listeners missed it, he's talking about Charlie Parr, who I was going to kind of get into that in a little while, but just suffice it to say right at this moment, Charlie Parr was John's mentor, right? I mean...
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to go on to another song now,
all
if
right.
you would.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I'm going to play an old blues song called Death Letter Blues, and I think it was initially performed and written by Son House, who is a pretty big blues guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and so what was the name of it again?
Death Letter Blues.
Death Litter.
Letter.
Letter Blues, okay.
Got a letter. What do you reckon it read? I got a letter. What do you reckon it read? Said hurry, hurry now. The gal you love is dead. Up my suitcase, head on down the road, head on down the road, head on down the road. I picked up my suitcase and I headed on down the road. When I got there, you know, she was laying on a cooling board. Thank you.
I woke up this morning, put on my shoes. I woke up this morning and I put on my shoes. You know, when I woke up, I had them walking blues. I got a letter. Dressed in red.
All right, really good. So that was a cover called Death Letter Blues that John Edwards just did for us. Who wrote that?
Sun House.
Oh, yeah. That's what you said. Great. Let's see. I'm going to read a little bit more about you here. John is a recent graduate of Harbor City International School in Duluth, and he fell in love with the old-time music and dance class, and I'm going to talk a bit about that.
Yeah.
It further opened up and immersed him into the styles, histories, and cultures of the traditional blues sounds that had captivated John as a musical artist. And I'm going to ask you this. Were Tom Maloney and Brandy or... who was teaching that class at the time? I'm just curious.
Nicole Otjes was.
Oh, okay.
When I was doing it. Tom came in quite often, and then Brandy ran the the varsity string band group.
Oh, okay.
So
they're just awesome. We just love that. We love Terrence Smith's old time dances. Actually, I was in a band, John, that substituted for his dance classes. Yeah.
Yep.
They're a little... Anybody have a phone on still? It's not all the way turned off? Yeah, okay.
Mine's on airplane mode.
Yep. Okay, good. And that ought to do it. So that's so interesting that you were exposed to that kind of music, and that must have been... kind of early on, because for gosh sakes, you're only 19 now. How did you get started with your music?
I got started with my music...
like somebody gave you a guitar, or...
I started off playing drums. I was taking lessons, and my drum teacher had a couple of guitars, and... I just, we ended up jamming, and then I was like, well, hey, I want to, because he was mainly a drummer, so I was like, well, I want to see what this would sound like. I want to see you play, because he was an excellent drummer, and it was just really cool to, see somebody that good that up close,
Yeah, you're telling me?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here right now.
But, yeah, he had I think it was like a Epiphone of some sort, and then something else. I can't quite remember. And then so I was playing that for a couple of months, and then an old girlfriend of mine had an old Randy Jackson signature guitar laying around. And he, I'm not familiar enough with Randy Jackson's music to really... discern what kind of music he plays, but I know that he was a judge on American Idol.
Oh, okay.
He was good enough to have a signature guitar, I guess. So that was kind of the first guitar that I had, and and then that was a couple years ago now, and then I've always loved Charlie's music, and then I was like, well, maybe I'll want to do that. Play that kind of folk blues stuff.
Do you mind if I, do you mind telling us who your drum teacher was back then?
It was the drummer for Baharat, Rob. I can't remember
his
last name.
Yeah.
But Runnels, was it? Mm-hmm. Runnels?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, and Rob Runnels from the band Baharat in Duluth.
Well, way cool. Yeah. And he must have been an inspiration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely kind of nurtured that whole love for music. And
yeah, that's way cool. I want another song. How
yeah.
about that?
All right. Yeah, so I'll do Heavier. This is off of my self-titled, my second to last record. It's called Heavier.
Heavier.
Yep.
Okay.
Everything's so much heavier now. So much different now. So much has changed, and I don't know where I'm going. Like there's a storm around every corner. And I just lost my umbrella. Everything's so much heavier now. Everything's so much different now. So much has changed.
Very, very nice. And the name of that song was Heavier.
Yeah.
From John Edwards' your self-titled.
Yep.
Album. And how applicable is that to today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that one. Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just going to ask you to go for another one,
okay.
If you don't mind.
Yeah,
I'm just
sure.
loving it so much. And what's this one going to be?
This is going to be Railhopper. This is off my latest album. Thank you.
out down to Texas and met a man in a pawn shop. Seeing picture cards, couldn't picture his woman. Sold his guitar for one of them clear jars. And when he left, so did the music. Ah, when he left, so did the music. Got to Washington, I saw trees as old as mountains. The waters were gray, they were tired. That water was a mirror, and I sat down and I rested. I laid my weary head to rest, so did the music. Yeah, when I laid my head to rest, so did the music.
What was the name of that one again, that song?
Railhopper.
Railhopper, yeah. Oh, really, really nice. You're listening to KTWH 99.5 LP and KTWH.org. We're so glad you're here. Let's hear more from our young guest, John Edwards. And remember, to hear a replay of John's Beat Farm session today, just tune in the same way this Sunday, November 17th at 3 o'clock. And that's, we always replay our Beat Farm shows the Sunday following the live show, which is today. Do you always play solo?
Yeah, I mostly play solo. Sometimes I'll have a friend of mine join me on banjo, and then we'll play old-time tunes and whatnot, because that's how we both got started and whatnot. And,
oh, all right. Yeah, I suppose banjo would sound really cool with your resonator. Yeah, that would be neat. Let's see. And do you care to name that person who, or...
Yeah, so it's the guy who's produced all of my, actually recorded albums, Xander Ripley Jackla, and he's in...
Xander!
Yeah.
Oh, of course!
Yep, that's we met through that class, and we've been playing out quite often ever since, and I got to join his family band on stage for Duluth Does the Trio, and their little set that they did, and... Then, like I'd said, like Xander's produced and recorded all of my my studio stuff, and it's been really cool. And he has a band in town called the Rockin' Rodents, and then he also has a solo thing called Xander Music, and yeah.
Way cool, and yeah. I love Liz.
Yeah.
And we got to know Xander a little bit because he's been doing some. Our wonderful Kim Leon lines him up to do some things, some music for the station. And actually, we just saw him in yet another band, and it was at the Douglas County Historical Society. Yeah, ask him about that, because it was only a month ago or less. It was a Steve Sokola event at the Douglas County Historical Society, and let's see, I can't even picture who was in that. Rehnquist, J.P.'s son, J.P. Rehnquist's son. Anyway, I can't remember his name, but he was in that little, and maybe they just got together to do that one song at that one occasion. Yeah. But we just saw him and his mom was there.
Yeah.
Liz was there to listen, so that was cool. And like I said, it was a Steve Sokola event variety show.
Okay.
It was called a variety show, I believe.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, I think, now to name some of the influencers in your entertaining or your music.
Yeah.
Can you name some?
A big one is, you know, Charlie, of course. Charlie Parr has been a huge one. Probably the biggest influence on me and, like, my own music and songwriting and playstyle and whatnot. And then by extension, you know, John Kerner and, you know, all three, like, Kerner, Rand, Glover, and I love everything that either, like, all of those guys together and individually released. And Dave Van Ronk was another huge one that has kind of, like, affected, you know, how I write and whatnot. And then as of late, like, Tom Waits, too.
Oh, all right.
I've been kind of writing some Tom Waitsy stuff.
Yeah. And when you said Tom Waitsy, so it's maybe after the style a little bit, but yeah, that's way cool. You know, we might as well go right here, right now, because as you know, I was talking with your mom before the show, and I said something like, oh, yeah, I can already hear Charlie Parr's influence or whatever I said. And she said, yeah, he's been into Charlie Parr since he was 4 years old. He had me buy this Charlie's CD called Jubilee, and he was really into the title track.
Yeah.
So actually, I did have our wonderful tech fellow here at the station see if we had that archived. And we did, and we're actually going to play at least part of that song,
all right.
Jubilee, from Charlie Parr's CD called Jubilee. And Carl, are you ready for it?
Are you ready for Jubilee to come?
Right. No wonder you loved that song from the time you were 4 years old. You know, that just, that was so uplifting. It sounds like a jubilee, and it's, that was wonderful. And thanks again, Moose, here at the station, for getting that ready for us. That was joyous.
Yeah.
All right. So how about another song?
Yeah, sure.
One question before you go.
Go for it.
Was did Charlie play that same Delta Resonator?
On that track specifically? Yeah. No. That might have been one of Dave Hundreiser's guitars. He has a pretty big collection of resonators, and they recorded that in Dave's garage, and he plays harmonica for Charlie. And
okay. Yeah. I love that whole arrangement was great. I mean, a female vocalist and drums and all that was a wonderful track on Charlie's CD. And you know, while we're stopped, let's just talk a little bit about your albums, because I need the knowledge, and I'm sure the listeners would like to know too. So we're talking about albums. Are they really CDs? Are they vinyl? Or
right now they're on CD, because it was a rude awakening finding out how much making vinyl was.
Yeah, I'd say from what I've heard, out of this world.
Yeah.
So you have two CDs?
I have, I think, close to four studio albums right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all of those have been released within like the past year, I'd say. And then I had a couple of home recordings I did August of 2023. And I recorded, I just did that on my phone, and and just uploaded it to this, there was this free service called SoundCloud, and so I uploaded the home recordings to SoundCloud, and folks listened, and I had finally asked Xander, like, hey, I've some songs to record, and I was wondering if I'd be able to, you know, come over and record in your guys' space, and it worked out. And
wow, that's a wonderful thing. And Xander, well, maybe he's a little older than you, but you're about the same age, aren't you?
Yeah, he's a year younger.
A year younger. Yep. Okay, that's a wonderful combination. So can people find these CDs somewhere? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How's that go?
I have a Bandcamp that folks can order them off of, and that's a spot where you can buy CDs and then also digital albums, too, for a little cheaper. And, and of course, I'll always have them at my shows and whatnot, and sometimes I'll make an announcement, like the day of a show, I've made, like, a little home recordings CD that will only be sold at the next couple shows. And
that's really neat. I don't hear a lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. That was a brainstorm, wasn't it? Who turned you on to that idea, or did you come up with it yourself?
Just kind of putting it together.
That's cool.
I mean, sometimes the songs are, 20 seconds long because they're home recordings.
Right.
And they're just little clips, but I figured, why not?
And that's really neat.
Sell them for, $5. And,
that's really neat. Yeah. Good luck with all that. So Bandcamp is where you could find to order CDs.
Yep.
The folks at home. And And so I am going to read a little tiny quote, and then I'm going to ask you a question after it. Bob Dylan is quoted saying about songwriting, "A song is like a dream and you try to make it come true. They're like strange countries that you have to enter. You can write a song anywhere, in a railroad compartment, on a boat, or on horseback. It helps to be moving." Now, I'd say that that is one of the many ideas that I've read about Dylan and songwriting.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Do you have any ideas or something that you might tell aspiring composers?
Just go with your gut, really. I mean, there's not really a one way to do it, and just, you know, like, write down whatever, and, you know, if you really like something, and you think it sounds good, like, keep working on that, and,
How do you come up with your ideas?
Like, for songs?
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a, it just happened. It's kind of, like, it feels like, you know, there'll be, you know, a lull in just, like, creativity, I guess.
Right.
For, you know, however long. And then it like, feel like I'll just, like, throw up pretty much. Like, this song or, you know, this story, it's usually in more of a story form. And then, you know, the music part comes later, or, you know, it'll just stay in a notebook for a while, and then I'll find that notebook a little while later and be like, oh, hey, that was, you know, that little line was decent and or something, and then I'll, you know, write it down on a different piece of paper and then lose that, and then find it a few months later and, oh, hey, I remember that. And, you know, and
so I hear you saying something about a notebook or a piece of paper that's like something you keep on you, or you...
Yeah, it could be a napkin, it could be, you know, sticky note, anything that I could write on you know, at that moment.
Right, and so I have heard several guests we've had say the same thing. Well, I just keep a notebook, and something strikes me, or I see something, or I hear something, or smell something. You know, because people have been known to use their senses to compose. And I know it sounds kind of funky or whatever, but there are so many, you know, different things. But I like that one. Carry a notebook or piece of paper and write down stuff, you know, and that's really cool. No, I think I just want to repeat that in order to get a CD by our guest, John Edwards, you would go to Bandcamp site to order that. And it's Bandcamp and then maybe / John Edwards or something like that.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's the link that you'd type in. Otherwise, it's the website has its own search bar and whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you just go to Bandcamp. Yep. Right. All right, cool. How about another song?
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to do a traditional tune, I think, called Samson and Delilah.
Until he killed him dead, and the bees made honey in the lion's head. If I had my way, if I had my way, if I had my way.
He looks up so nonchalantly and says, yeah, when I'm going, oh, my gosh. So good. I would like you to name, though, put a name on those CDs. Like, what was the name of the first one you did?
The name of the first album I did that was a home recording called For Bayou Bob. And it was it's a album that was dedicated to the guy who kind of put me onto all of these older blues artists. He was an old family friend. His name was Robert, and he lived down in New Orleans, and he really loved like the jazz scene and the blues scene down there. And passed away a couple years ago, and he had gifted me this old Martin guitar after I'd sold the Randy Jackson one. And it was a really big gift, and I wrote the whole album on that guitar and recorded it and put it out there. And yeah,
so no wonder you named that album after him. Wow. Yeah. That's really a touching story.
Yeah, and that was, Bayou Bob was his nickname. That's what a lot of the folks down there called him in his circle. So
yeah, neat. Yeah. And then album two?
Album two was Songs from the Bottom Shelf. That was put out in January of this year. And then following that was my self-titled, and then following that was the most recent one, Death's Black Train, which is named after an old gospel tune, and Charlie recorded it too, the tune on his album Glory in the Meeting House too.
What, he recorded one of your tunes?
No. Oh. So this last album was named after a traditional tune that he had recorded.
I see. He had also recorded the same tune.
Yeah.
And what was that last album called?
Death's Black Train.
Death's Black Train. Okay. And did I see the name of that song on your album also?
No, that song didn't make it on. I really was trying to figure out an arrangement I like. There's about 10 different versions of that song that I was like, well, maybe I'll do this one. And it didn't end up working out, but I really liked the cover art, and I thought that the title was fitting. So,
all right, cool. Yeah. All right. Let's see. I don't want to forget some of these questions I had for you. How about oftentimes younger people are a little bit better at this when I ask. Do you have any inspirational words for aspiring musicians? Now, we talked a little bit about composing and what it takes, but how about kids maybe, or young people, not kids necessarily, but trying to do something with their music or get into it? And
yeah, it's just I mean the a lot of those words would like it would be the same thing, you know, just like do what you feel comfortable with and like make stuff that you feel comfortable with. Like, but like with like the music thing, I don't know. I'm just barely figuring this whole thing out.
Okay.
So
that's good too.
I'm just kind of winging it.
Yeah, that's good too. And you know, especially for some parent listeners at home, they want to know, you know, well, how does my kid get to do that or whatever. So writing, you know, I mean, singing, playing, anything like that.
The Music Resource Center in Duluth is an amazing source of that. Through the Armory in town, I went a couple of times, but it was quite a walk uphill from Harbor City to Sacred Heart.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that steep hill.
Yeah.
It's carrying a guitar or two.
It's
killer. But that is an amazing resource. I know folks who have recorded albums there, and there's tons of local bands that have kind of are alumni of the MRC in town. And
I turned Tracks and Born Too Late onto that place.
Yeah.
And so that's where they learned how to record and all that all those instructors, Shauna Weaver and Michael, and oh my gosh, and now Tracks himself, I guess, is an awesome teacher over there. Mm-hmm. So, I'm glad to hear that. I don't think I knew that about you, but the Music Resource Center is a really amazing place.
Yeah, Sacred Heart has always kind of been a focal point, it seems, for a lot of the, kind of the milestones.
For people to play there and showcase their,
Yeah, and just like within my own thing, you know, it's like that was, you could trace that back to a Charlie concert I saw there with Lowe was playing and 4 Mile Portage was playing.
Or 4 Mile Portage was playing Tom Maloney's band, wow. Yep.
And because they were promoting that Keep Your Hands on the Plow album. And I still have the CD that Charlie signed for me from way back then. And so, I mean, I ended up, seeing him there, played my first big show opening for him there. I've done some stuff at the MRC and whatnot.
Way neat. Very cool. I wonder if Charlie's listening. Anyway, we've said his name probably 20 times at least. All right, so we're going to go ahead, though, and have you do another one.
All right.
Let me see. I should be checking the time here. No, we might have time for two, but this might be your last.
Okay.
So I like to tell people that in case they have a special last song.
Actually, I'm going to do one first under this country if this is probably, this might be my last one.
Okay.
So this is a traditional tune called When First Under This Country, and John Kerner recorded this, Charlie recorded it. The first version I heard, though, was a Jerry Garcia and a David Grisman version off of the Pizza Tapes, but I'm most familiar with kind of the Charlie and John versions.
Right, And again, that was called what?
When First Unto This Country.
When First?
Unto This
Country. Unto This Country. Okay.
Unto this country, a stranger I came, courted a fair lady, Nancy was her name. I rode to see my Nancy, I rode both day and night, rode to see my Nancy, my own heart's true delight. I I rode to see my Nancy, I rode both night and day. Spotted a fine stallion, both white looking and gray. Sheriff's men, they followed and overtaken me, carted me away to the penitentiary. Well, they opened up the door and then they threw me in. Shaved off my head and cleared away my chin. They beat me and they banged me and fed me on dry beans, till I wished to my own soul I'd never been a thief. Pockets and my cap set on so bold, coat of many colors like Joseph's of old. When first onto this country a stranger I came, courted a fair lady, Nancy was her name.
Oh, yeah, that's a really wonderful song. And that was called When First Unto...
This Country.
This Country.
Yep.
Well, we've just been having a wonderful, wonderful hour with our 19-year-old John Edwards. It really has been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it really has been our pleasure. And thanks to all of the listeners for tuning in. And I do want to mention that on the third Friday of next month, we're scheduled to have another youngster in the studio. And his name is Will Dury from Hibbing. Some folks might know his name from appearing with the Dylan Fest songwriter competitions. He actually just graduated, I think, from college, so he's probably 21 or so. But anyway, and good luck, John Edwards, with all of your endeavors in music. Yeah. And it really has been our pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you. And hopefully everyone will tune in next month for Will Dury. Thank you.